the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Book of Ephesians chapter 3. I've got a good little bit of material to cover today, so I've decided that rather than sounding like an auctioneer, if I don't get through with this morning, I'll finish it this afternoon. So we'll get all the way through this. Also, I would ask if you would, when you pray, if you would remember Elaine. She has her 2-year test tomorrow down in Charleston in regard to her cold, where she had the colon cancer. So we'll pray everything turns out good. Ephesians chapter 3, and looking at verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before thee again this morning looking into this passage, dear Father, we thank you for what you left for us, and my, what a tremendous, tremendous passage this is. Lord, the power that's in these two verses, if we could ever fully grasp them, mind what servants of thine we could be. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts today, open our hearts to the truths of thy word. And dear God, I just pray that as we leave here today, we'll be better servants of thine and more determined to serve you day by day. And dear God, if there's someone here that's lost, I pray this is the time that you speak to their hearts and draw them into yourself. And dear Lord, what you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As was last time, our subject is going to be unto him. Unto him. Just two words. But the power is in those words. When I think about just that phrase and think about where I am and where I would be without him, and realize that all that we have is because of him, because it is unto him, it thrills my soul. It thrills my heart. Because everything that we have in this life is because of him. We look at the statement about God's greatness. And my goodness, the various passages coming up to this verse, and we saw things how that our salvation is secure because of the Holy Spirit, that we are predestined to be with him in heaven when this life ends. We're saved by his grace and sealed with him in heavenly places, and the list went on and on. And my goodness, what a tremendous blessing that is, because it is all made possible unto him. Not unto ourselves, but unto him. Because of that, he is worthy of our love, our devotion, and our praise. And sometimes I think, beloved, we are sadly lacking in all three of those areas. I think that there's much time that we don't love God nearly as much as we should, nearly as deeply as we ought to, and we do not love him as affectionately as we ought to. You know, remember, he told that church in the book of Revelation that their problem was they were doing a good work, they were doing great things, but they had left their first love. So don't think it's not possible for us to serve God, for us to honor God, for us to go through the motions, come to church, worship God, do all things we're supposed to, and at the same time have lost our love, our adoration for him, because it isn't exceedingly possible. Our devotion. Boy, it used to be, I can remember a time when nothing was too difficult or it was never a burden to serve the Lord in any way. If something came up that needed to be done, we were there. We did it. But boy, we have let a lot of things crowd us out now, haven't we? We've let life happen, as somebody may say. We've let the cares of life, we've let the affairs of life, we've let the concerns of life crowd us out, and it's a burden to do anything for the Lord. Well, beloved, that is a surefire sign that we have lost our devotion to him. Because if we are devoted to him as we ought to be, then there's nothing too difficult or nothing too great that we are called upon to do if the need arises. So our devotion is down, and our praise. We just don't praise God much anymore. I think that a lot of that comes from the fact that we don't want to be associated with those who have gone on overboard with their praise to God, and what they say is a praise for God is nothing but a show of the flesh. Beloved, we are commanded by God in His Word that we are to praise Him. Praising with our hearts, praising with our lives, praising with all we do, and praising with our mouths. We don't have any. Now we can go watch our favorite ball team play, or we can go and watch cars and trucks run around in a circle. We can do all those things that we enjoy, whatever it might be, and in doing so, we will cheer for our favorite team, we'll cheer for our favorite driver, we'll cheer for whomever it is that we are interested in and we like. But beloved, when was the last time that we've ever uttered a word of praise for God? So He is worthy of all these three things, but my, how badly we're lacking in those, and it shows. It shows in our service, it shows in our lives, it shows in everything that we do. We need to follow the many commands of the Bible to praise the Lord. For example, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name." Now think of this. It is the sacrifice of praise. The Bible, Paul told us in the book of Romans, that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, right? This is just a part of that. Our praise to Him is one of our sacrifices to Him, if you will. It is our way of showing our love to Him in that we praise Him. That the fruit of our lips, we have a lot of things that come out of our lips as far from fruit. We have a lot of things that come out of our mouths and across our lips that we wish we hadn't said when we said it. Or maybe as soon as we said it, we wish we had. And most certainly after we think about it, we wish we had. But those things do happen, do they not? I mean, that's one of the things we have to be in the flesh. But beloved, what we need to do is we're praising God as we ought to. And if we're praising God as deeply as we should, and if we're praising God out of the depths of our being as we should, then rather than being those things that we wish were not coming out, what is coming out of our mouth or the uttering across our lips are the fruits of our lips, the good things out of our sacrifice, giving thanks to His name. If we are doing anything that we can't give thanks to the name of God for while we're doing it, leave it alone. Because it's sin. Because it's something that's going against what we should be doing. It's something that's affecting us adversely. Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2. "Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Don't be afraid to show your emotion for God. Now, there's time when emotion goes overboard. We're all aware of that. And there's times that emotion has to be kept in check. We're aware of that as well. If we are not to allow service to be conducted based off emotion, that the train will jump off the track pretty quick when that happens. But there's nothing wrong with us expressing our devotion for God, our expressing our love for God, expressing how great and glorious He is, how grand His grace is, how deep His love is, how extensive His mercy is. It doesn't hurt to show that out physically, if you will. That's what the Bible says, right? Amen. But again, it's not, you don't just turn it over to that. It has to be done we can't forget that the Bible says that we're to do everything decently and orderly. That's what you have to watch, that it doesn't get out of place where it's no longer decent and orderly. Psalms 113, verses 1 and 3. "Praise ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised." Every part of our day, we are to be praising God in one form or another. Now, if we would just sit around and say, "Praise God for your goodness, praise God for this, that, and the other," then we would not get done our responsibility. We wouldn't get done what we're supposed to do. But beloved, you can praise God while you're working. How? By being an honorable servant of God. Why are you doing it? By showing a solid testimony to the Lord while you're doing it. That was one of the things that could have been and was truthfully stated about Sister Mary Eardley after she passed. She left a testimony for serving the Lord. A solid testimony for serving the Lord. How is ours? Is it solid? Is it dependable? Are we dependable? Or is it like a chart, up and down, bar, up and down, up and down, up and down? We should be even keel, should we? Or maybe no, I shouldn't say that. It should be climbing steadily upward as we grow and mature. We are to praise Him from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Boy, if we would do that, if we would engage in that, engage our hearts in it, I will guarantee you it would save us a whole lot of trouble that we get into. Because during those lapse times when trouble comes in, remember the old saying that we used to hear growing up about idle hands? Devil's workshop. Idle hands in the service for God is just the same. How am I going to, I don't have anything to do. I don't have any office here. You can pray. You can witness. You can sing. You can praise. You can do all of those things. So don't say that you don't have anything to do. We all have things to do. We all have different things to do. But at the same time, we all have things that we need to be engaged in. Activities that we need to be doing, and that is serving God in whatever capacity we can with everything that's in us, with all of our ability, with all of our might, because that's what God expects. Psalms 135, the first 6 verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise unto His name, for His pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places. He accomplished His will in all things. And just as He had separated Jacob, beloved, He separated us. He took us out of the world. He took us out from amongst the world. And He did so not for us to go back into the world, not to act back into the world, not to live as though we're back in the world. We are to live and act as a child of God. And I like that. To sing praise unto His name. There is nothing that I possibly say. There's few things I enjoy in the service of God more than hearing God's people sing. I love to hear God's people sing. It thrills my heart. It thrills my soul. And you know, I don't care whether you think you can carry a tune or not, and you might not be able to. When you blend your voice with everybody else, it is beautiful. And I believe that it is a sacrifice, if you will, that is pleasing in the ears of Almighty God. Because we're singing praise to Him. And there's a little something more I'll get into that at some point as I go through here. I don't know if it'll be this morning or not. We need to get busy praising Him. For as we sing going through here, we are way behind in the praise that we should be giving. So after Paul does this, what does he do next? Having told us about the glory of God in saving us, Paul prays for the church. What church? Well, he prays for us, churches individually. He prays specifically for the church there at Ephesus. Do not get the impression, when I make a comment or somebody else about that he's praying for the church, I'm talking about some universal monstrosity. I am not. There's only a universe. There is only local, visible bodies. Nothing else. None of this invisible nonsense. I'm not leaning or saying anything about that. But Paul prays for the church. Churches today and the churches then at that time. He prays for specific things to happen in that church. First of all, he prays that they will be filled with God's power. Chapter 3 and verse 16. You know, if a church is full of God's power, it is another way of saying that that church is full of the Spirit of God. And if that church is full of God's power, full of the Spirit of God, then there's going to be a lively spirit within the church. Now, I made a comment to Brother Mike as we were coming up from the fellowship hall. We can already tell that there was a good spirit in the church this morning. And it's wonderful to be where there's a good spirit, isn't there? And when you're there, it feels warm, it feels inviting, it feels joyous. And even if we're not having a particularly good time, if we're somewhat down or downtrodden, it'll even lift those spirits up a little bit for the power of God. When you do not have the power of God, what you have is walking into a large refrigerator. It is cold. It is indifferent. It is nothing but formality, and it's nothing but going through the motions. What makes a difference? The presence or the power of Almighty God. So Paul was praying that this church and our churches today would be filled with power. Not just a little bit, but filled, because we've got to have it all. You know, if you think of it in terms of a bottle, and that's a poor example, but it's the only one I have. If it's not full of the power of God, it will be full of something, filled up with something else. And we have no room in our heart and life for anything else. It must be God. Because if it's not God who declared himself to be the way and the truth, then if it's not full of truth, it's going to be full of error. It's going to be full of lies. It's going to be full of that which takes away from the Lord. He prays that they'll both know and live out the awesome love of God. Chapter 3, verses 17 and the first part of verse 19. You cannot extend the love of God to somebody else until you first know it yourself. And if you know it yourself, then you have a desire to share it with others. When you see somebody that you know is hurting, don't you want to help? Don't you want to say something that will encourage them, say something to make them feel a little bit better? What's that from? That's coming from the love of God that you have experienced and your desire to share it or show it to somebody else. That is one of the major or primary obligations of a child of God. Our first obligation is to praise God and serve Him, right? Under that, within our service for Him, is we are to look out for ourselves and look out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And show them the love that lives, so we then can know it, experience it ourselves, know what it's all about, and then to live it out, that is to be able to show it outwardly. You know, it doesn't do any good. I love that the parable, I guess it would be, about the bush, the light in the bushel. You know, you don't hide it, but you have that light shining, right? If we have the light of God in our lives, we need to hide it. It's selfish to try to hide it under yourself. It's selfish to try to keep everything just for yourself. Beloved, we need to experience it and then express it and pass it on to others. Because you'll find out that as you give, you show that love to others, then you're going to be filled back up with more. God, again, we serve a great God, don't we? Why? Because our lives are what? Unto Him. And since we are unto Him, then we have a desire to do these things, and He will work back in our lives, giving and doing the things that we need to have. His prayer is that they would love God and one another completely and without reservation. Now, we may say that we love God without reservation, but the reality is, do we? If it was God's will that you would go to some foreign land, would you be willing to do so, or do you have too many obligations here to keep you from going? If you were instructed of God to go and witness to and be nice and help the most wicked person in town, whomever that might be, Would you be ready and willing to go? Or would you say, yeah, God, are you really sure about that? Do I really need to go to that person? You know, that person, you know, they don't think that some of the waters want to hurt them, but they're not going to take any chances. You know, that person, they cuss to you, they'll fly with light on you. That person is just wicked and they curse out of every word that comes out of their mouth. Are you really sure that that's where I'm supposed to go? God does not make mistakes. And if you are instructed by the Lord to go and do that, if you love God without reservation, then you're going to go and do that. Now let's look at us. Mankind, one of the things that we do very, very well, and I don't much care who the person is, because we all have to fight against it. One of the best traits we have is looking down our noses at somebody. Am I telling you the truth? Let me illustrate this one. If we had next Lord's Day, if we had the most consumed by drugs, drug addict in Greenbrier County would come through our door, how many of us would be tempted to say, oh, boy, look at them. Well, they need to be here. If you have an attitude like that, you need to be here too. Right? Same thing if a person was a drunk or if a person was whatever. Our tendency is to think that we are somehow better than them. But the reality is we're not. We're sinners saved by grace, that's all. And except by the grace of God, we can be just like them. Or worse. And most likely worse. So we are to love each other or love others completely. That is, welcome them with open arms. Let them know that you're glad they're here. And you want them to feel welcome. And do that without reservation. And don't sit back and say, well, I know that they're here for something. They want something, or they wouldn't be here. Yeah. They may very well want something. It could well be what they want is for just a little show of love to them. Somebody show them a little kindness. You know, God can work through that, can you not? So we are to love God and show that love for each other and Him totally or completely, if you will, and without reservation. That's the kicker, without reservation. Because boy, we have a tendency to have that little caveat with everything we do. Now, I would love to do this, but, or I'll do anything the Lord is going to have me to do, but, no, that's with reservation. And we're serving without such. And whatever it is that it would be. He also prayed that they would come to the full understanding of just how much they were loved by the Lord God. If we ever come to a full understanding of just how much He loved us, well, He sent His Son to die on the cross, and His Son died on the cross for me, and I know that I'm saved because of that. And we do it, and we express it, and just about that humdrum away. No, when you become a reality in your heart and life, how much the Lord loved you, that while you were yet sinner, while we were yet sinners, He showed that love, that tremendous love for us, that Jesus died of one of the most horrible deaths that you could ever imagine. Beaten beyond recognition. The Bible says that His vestige was such that He didn't even hardly look human. Beaten and scourged and the crown of thorns put upon Him. All because of His love for us. And if we fully grasp that, it's going to eliminate the humdrum of our life. Especially our service. When we understand that it was not because of us in any way, shape, form, or color that He did that. While we were yet sinners, He came and died for us. That is, while we were opposed. And we've been over that verse many times. Beloved, it shows to us the gracious love that God has for us. And we, in the idea that we need to, and they needed to be fully aware of who God is. Nobody else could do that. Nobody else would do that. You know, I love everybody here, but I don't love anybody here enough to sacrifice my son for you. I just want to be honest about it. And I feel that you feel the same way. Yet God did that for us. And only God could do that. You know, if it had been anybody else other than God, then it would have just been another death, another person dying on the cross. But because it was God, and because it was out of the love God had for us, it extended His mercy to us, and that we could see that we were lost, and that we were undone, and that we were saved. So we need to be aware of who God is and what He's done for us. Think about what He's done for us after salvation. He has made a way for us day by day. He provides for our needs day by day. And I think we kind of twist that around just a little bit in our understanding. Because He said that He was going to provide our needs does not mean that our pantries are going to be continually overflowing. It means that our needs will be met. If you think about the widow who was instructed to give the last that she had to make a cake for the prophet first. And it says that her meal barrel never was empty and that her oil cruse was never empty. It does not say that they were full. It just said they were never empty. So, beloved, don't think about God in terms of we want. Think about God in the reality of what He has. I can honestly say that I have never in my lifetime since I've been saved had a need that He hasn't met in some form or fashion. Sometimes right at the very end. But He's always come through and He always has and He always will. He prays that they will be able to experience the very fullness of God Himself, the latter part of verse 19 of chapter 3. The very fullness. That is, when we come to understand or to be immersed into the fullness of God, that's when we realize just how truly holy He is and how vile we are. And that's when we truly realize how dependent we are upon Him. A lot of these things are easy to say. A lot of these things are things that are commonly said. But are they a reality? Or are they just words we say? And if they're just words we say, then they are empty and they're of no value. We need to have these things be a part of who we are. And when they're a part of who we are, they change us and they change us in our service. Which is most important. I'm trying to get us to see that all this is seen in our reality and our service to God and all that He does for us. This is a prayer for them to be fully aware of who God is and all that He's done for them. We already touched on that. These petitions are powerful, they're wonderful, and they're glorious. And they should be on our hearts and lips at all times. And they will be. If we give ourselves over to Him as much as we should, and that is love Him without reservation and all the things we touched on that. However, all of these that we went through are impossible for us to accomplish within our own power. Do you ever see somebody try to serve the Lord on their own life? This is what happens whenever you see somebody that makes what amounts to a false profession to the Lord. Maybe somebody has twisted their arm to get him to make a profession. Maybe somebody has played the guilt card on him to get him to make a profession. Maybe somebody has told him that they were saved because of the way that they live, the way they act, the way they conduct themselves around the church. Maybe somebody has given them a reason. Maybe when they were a child, they make a profession of faith. But there's nothing to it. There's nothing there, and you'll see it in their lives as they try to serve God or go through the motions, and they may do it for a while successfully, but eventually the train jumps off the track because it's empty. There's no power there. There's no reality there. There's no true service to God. I remember back in my own life, I think I maybe told this here one time, some time ago, but when I was working with the surveyors, we were working up an area of Brown Bear Run, and the area where it was at was called Lost Run. And I can tell you for a fact and for certain, there was a good reason for them to call that place Lost Run. We were getting about ready for lunch, and they told me to drop down over the hill. I hit this little road, take a left, and take me right back to the truck. So I dropped down over the hill, I hit this road, I turned left, and I walked, 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 and I walked. Never did come to the truck. So I turned around and went back the way I thought I was going to go, and I walked, and I walked, and I walked. Never did see anybody, never did hear anybody. I looked down over the hill and saw another road, so I dropped down on it. Same thing never happened. So after about an hour or so of that, it occurred to me that I was lost. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where anybody was. I was totally and completely lost. So what did I do? I went to praying. Oh, Lord, if you'll let me get me out of this. Oh, Lord, if you'll let me be found. Don't let me be stuck up here. Lord, I don't want to try to pass spend the night here. Oh, Lord, deliver me from this, and I will serve you all my life. Well, later in the evening, they did find me. And being the compassionate people that they were, when I went to work the next day, some of the fellows had brought me a cowbell to wear, so they were as compassionate as they could be. But I did. I went through the most. I served God just as strongly as anybody did for about a week or so. I mean, I would tell them, you all shouldn't talk that way. You need to be talking more righteously. And I was living dreams, so to speak. We had wooden plugs to set fads inside the mines. You had a big punch about yay long that you take a popper, of what we usually have, a little ring about yay thick, and you drive that thing through to make some wooden plugs. I said that to get to this. I was making plugs one day, and I mean, I was going right at it, going right at it, going right at it, all up to the time that we had that, we had this little axes about that long with the hammer head on one side. So I popped that thing down right across my hand. And you know, everything that I used to say come right back. And everything that I thought I had put away came back. And I found out right real quick that, you know, I wasn't saved. It is possible. I said that to get to this. It is possible for anybody to make a false profession. But it will show up in your service. You can't get by with it forever. It is empty and undone without the power of God. The power of God is what enables us to do the things that we need to do. We can never walk in His power without His help. We don't have the ability to do so without His help. He is the one that helps us through the difficulties in life. He's the one that helps us through all the problems that we face. He's the one that gets us through when we think we can't go any farther. God, I can't take another step. He will take us along. You know, He will take us as a shepherd, lift up a weak sheep and put it around His neck and then take it where it needs to go. The Lord Almighty will take care of us. We are His sheep. And when we can't go any further, He will take us the rest of the way. Thank God for His love and His mercy that's been extended to us. We can never know and show the love of God apart from His power. It's His power that makes us know that we are loved, that we have experienced His love. It is that knowledge of the experience of the love of God of what takes the burdens off our hearts. We know, everybody that I'm aware of that is deeply, deeply battling depression. And there are those like that. The thing that they need to understand is that they are loved. They're not alone. The worst thing about depravity, depression, it makes you feel alone. It makes you think that nobody cares, nobody understands, nobody knows. But they need to know that they're loved. And beloved, in our spirit, that's the greatest reality that we have, is that we are loved. We're loved by God. And there's absolutely nothing that's going to change or remove or alter that love. I said earlier that I love you all, and I do. Each person's here. But it is possible that you could do enough things to me that would eventually wane a little bit. You know, that's just the way that we are. God's love for us is not like that. No matter what we do, He loves us. In fact, we see that love, and then sadly, sometimes we can experience that love through His chastening. But thank God that He loves us. So, we can never understand even the smallest truth about God unless He opened our eyes and revealed it to us personally. You would never understand any verse of this book. Any. You wouldn't understand John 3:16 unless the Spirit of God opened your eyes and enabled you to see and understand. Why? Because this book is spiritually written and spiritually discerned. It's not possible to grasp it any other way. Not with our reasoning, not with our understanding, not with our great intellect. It is through the Spirit of God that enables us to see this. So, as part of his doxology of praise to the Lord, Paul lets us know that we have help. Why do we have help? Because of we are part of Him, unto Him. And that is what enables us to be able to rest on that help. Isn't it nice to know that if we're trying to do something and we don't know how it's going to turn out, we don't know exactly if we're going to be able to do it, that there's somebody that we can call on, there's somebody that we can know that will be there to help us if we get into a tight place or into a bind. Beloved, we have somebody that will help us spiritually, and we shouldn't wait till we get in a bind to call on Him. He's there for us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, is what He said. And beloved, there is not a truer promise in the Bible. That's something that we can understand, that we can grasp, because of everything that we have and do is what? Unto Him. Thank God for that. We're going to stop here. I'll pick the rest up this afternoon. Let's pray. Your kind grace and kind Father.